into teams of warriors, gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Golden Point. Doing this one a little bit later in the week. It should be out on a Wednesday as opposed to the usual Monday, but that's okay. So we'll kick things off with a round recap. Starting off with the Bulldogs and the Panthers, our two teams facing off on Thursday night. Well, the Panthers came out winners 16-8 in this one, essentially ending the Bulldogs' season. Cartwright made his return, and it was four in a row for the Panthers, which is pretty impressive, coming home strong.
Yeah, very strong. If you have to play right in one half of the season, you choose the second half. And the Panthers are, doing well. They're still outside the top eight, but even points, and they're probably going to sneak their way in, I'd say, by the end of the year.
Yeah, they're looking likely, but don't want to count your chickens before they hatch, or whatever it's called.
Count your Panthers before they hatch. But without Moylan as well. Wait, actually, did Moylan play?
No, he didn't play. So
without Moylan.
So impressive though, Tyron. I kind of don't know where he fits into the team long term, but I've really enjoyed seeing him play his two games so far.
Yeah, well, fantastic to have that kind of depth as well. Yeah. Especially, coming into the finals, if there is an injury or anything like that, it's good to know that at least he's got a little bit of experience now.
Yeah,
and absolutely. A couple of wins too.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to the first run of our game, the Warriors and the Sharks. Sharks winning this one by quite a margin, 26-12. That was a scrappy game overall, I thought. A lot of tries coming from errors. And we also saw New Brown get knocked out from a lifted knee from Sam Lissoni. So he was put in the port for that one and could be facing a bit of time on the sideline. It was an ugly sort of shot.
Yeah, Warriors season well and truly over now as well. Very disappointing year for them. I think everyone expected a lot more with the spine that they have. Just didn't perform again.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a real shame. It really is. I mean, as soon as Sean Johnson went down, that was the end, I guess, for them. But they just... I don't know how they haven't done better. Like, everyone thought, Kieran Foran's there, they're going to do great now. And even he hasn't been as good as what he used to be. It seems like Sean Johnson runs the show and he's not there, everyone just goes to sleep.
Yeah. Kieran Foran has been very disappointing. He's had a mixed season in terms of, injuries and being out and whatnot. Mm. Hasn't played a whole lot of consistent games in a row, which, just not good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the Friday night main game was the Eels and the Broncos. Eels winning this one 28-14. So it's the fifth win in a row for the Eels, which I didn't realise. Pretty amazing. And we also saw Kenny Edwards take one of the dirtiest shots you'll see all season, which was, pretty disgusting to see.
Yeah, no, a lot of people calling it a dog shot, and I wouldn't like to call that because obviously, dogs are lovely beings, and I wouldn't want to lump them in the same category. Very ordinary hit from him, I have to say. On the win, a very, very important win for the Eels and proof to them that, they can match it with the top teams.
Yeah, it's not one I would have picked, honestly. I thought the Broncos would have won that one pretty well, but that's what you get. So we'll move on to Saturday. Knights and Dragons were probably the upset of the year. The Knights winning this one 21-14 for their third win of the season, I think. It's not winning. It's huge. McGregor's come out and had a bit of a go at the referees, saying that their performance was embarrassing and incompetent. I don't know if you can say that. I think any team, like, the Dragons doesn't play well enough, really. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I mean, what he's doing? They put 50 points on 1 week, beaten by the Knights next.
Such a downfall for them. It's a shame, because I think everyone was surprised and everyone was cautious and hesitant. I know you and I were talking about it quite a bit at the start of the season, being like, oh, when are they going to start to fail?
Yeah.
And then you thought, wait, they're not going to. They're going to be a premiership threat this year, and then it came.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not sure what exactly changed either. Post-Origin period has just gotten another team, even though they weren't that affected by Origin.
It's crazy. Yeah, it really is. All right, we'll move on to the next Saturday game. Raiders and Rabbitohs. Raiders is winning this one comfortably, 32-18. In this one, Jared Croker scored his 105th try, which ties Brent Mullins. Excuse me. And the Rabbitohs were just scrappy overall, really. They just They weren't good.
No.
You know, they had a couple of issues. I think Sam Burgess got injured and Crichton got simmed in for 10 minutes. But,
yep.
You know, it's just, yeah.
I didn't realise how poor of a season they've had. They're now third last.
Yeah.
Which is just shocking. Raiders keeping slim chances of a finals appearance alive. They've had a couple of good wins recently, but I still don't think it'll be good enough to make the finals. I think it's too much of a gap to close with this many rounds to go.
There's one spot left, you've got to say. Like,
yep.
The Eels are in, you think. So
yep.
Warriors, Panthers, and Raiders, I guess, are the three fighting it out, but the Raiders are definitely the dark horse out of those.
Yeah,
three.
Long shots, absolutely long shots.
Yeah. All right, so we'll move on to the final side of the game, which was the Roosters and the Cowboys. Roosters winning this one with a bit of a comeback, 22-16. They went 16-6 at halftime, and then they scored 3 tries in 17 minutes to come home with the win. What do you think?
Yeah, unfortunately, Michael Morgan couldn't bring this one home for him. He's been sensational since Thurston's been out, but, you know, Roosters are too good on the day. I think... I still can't see the Cowboys winning it this year.
Yeah.
I still think JT is just too big of a loss in the finals. So I think this is probably a sign of what could happen in the finals.
Yeah. They won't have that calming force that JT brings.
Yeah, just that edge that gets them over the line in the big games. But you know, credit where it's due, good win to the Roosters.
Yeah, definitely. I think saying that they're not going to be forgotten about for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to Sunday, which is the Storm and the Seagulls. Storm winning this one by a wide margin, 4-6. It was Cameron Smith's 350th game. The Storm are proving that they're an absolutely dominant team, and the Seagulls are just free-falling. They have just gone into panic mode. I don't know what's happened, but they,
90 points in 2 weeks?
Yeah, they're an all-sorts.
Crazy. Is it just me, or did Cameron Smith's 350th just sneak up on everyone?
Yeah, it wasn't in my notes until maybe half an hour before we started.
Okay.
I forgot about it.
I knew on game day, but that was kind of the first I'd heard about it. I heard some stuff on game day, and I thought, okay, so they're talking about, you know, in the coming weeks or next year or something like that. And I was like, well, no, today, he's 350. I'm like, wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Oh, incredibly impressive, yeah. To be honest, I didn't actually realise he was playing in it, because I thought he got injured.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we said he could be out for a few weeks, but then it went from 6 to 2 to... No, he's playing this week.
That's right. That was the podcast where we said Clint Gutherson was going to win the Daly out because Smith was going to be out.
And then he got injured. Gutherson.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Golden Point strikes again.
The final game of the round was the Titans and the Tigers. Tigers winning this one, 26-4. Tedesco had an absolutely amazing game, probably his game of the season, I would say. The Titans changed their spine again. They put Roberts back at fullback, hanging the centres and all that sort of stuff. And Matt Eisenhuth has got his first start of his career, and he's doing fantastically, which is great to see.
Yeah, big win for the Tigers. Tigers and the Knights winning in one round. Who would have thunk that?
I've been saying the NRL's a tipper's nightmare this season.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't pick it.
No.
You know? We're all over the place.
But yeah, like you said, fantastic game by Tedesco. Showed us why he's definitely one of the best fullbacks in the world. All around, just a really good performance from the Tigers. And yeah, I don't agree with the switching of the spine for the Titans. I don't think that's the right way to go.
It's crazy. You know, you want that to, if you're lucky and you don't have injuries, you want that to be your combination for the entire season.
Yeah.
I think the Titans have changed that about a million times now.
Yeah. And they keep going back and forth. Hanging to fullback to centre.
I get the fact that Roberts has been fantastic this year and you want to fit him into your side, but you don't leave LG out then. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't...
Yeah, or bench utility, something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But look, I don't think it's that Roberts is bad at fullback. It's more that Hayne is an amazing fullback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you want him to be involved as much as he can be.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right, so that's the round recap all done. We're going to move on to trivia now.
Alrighty. What happened last week for trivia? I forget. I don't. But please, remind.
So last week, JC got 5 out of 5, and I think a record 25 seconds or something. Yeah, 25.6 seconds.
Still staying.
He has not cleared the clock yet. That's how proud he was.
I'm going to screenshot that.
It was impressive. Obviously I made it too easy, but yeah, well, next week I'll toughen it up a bit.
Well, this week, pressure on you to match it.
Yeah, that's
you got five questions, the same amount of questions I had. You have 25.6 seconds and longer. Alrighty.
Alright, let's go.
3, 2, 1. Who was the lowest scoring team in round 21?
The Seagulls?
Incorrect. One game had exactly 50 points scored. Which was it?
Eels Broncos?
Incorrect. How many points separate first and eighth on the ladder? Competition points.
Okay, I think it's the 16?
Incorrect. One team in the top eight has a negative for and against. Who are they?
The Cowboys.
Incorrect. How many players scored only one try in round 21?
How many players scored one try?
Only one try.
Yeah. Okay, let's say 16.
Incorrect. Okay, lowest scoring team in round 21?
Would be the... the team that the Tigers played. They played the... I want to get at least one. I can't... Oh my God, I've gone blank on it. We literally just like did this.
That's tall.
So you can get 5 out of 5 in 25 seconds, but can you get 0 in a minute?
Alrighty. Wow. I thought you'd get a couple of those.
Yeah, they weren't incredibly hard. Yeah.
Alright. Lowest scoring team in round 21, Titans. 4 points. One game had exactly 50 points scored. Souths and the Raiders, 18-32. How many points separate first and 8? 10.
Ooh.
One team in the top 8 has a negative 4 against. Who are they? It's Parramatta, -4.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
How many players scored only one try in round 21?
I like that question.
Yeah. So you guess 16, have one more guess. You're not getting it right if you do, but...
Let's go 21.
No. This is how shocking it is. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Unless I've done something wrong here, which there's every chance I have done something wrong.
All right.
I feel like I have to have done something wrong. You know what? Give me 2 seconds to double check this.
Here we go.
Because the way that I saw it was 48.
48.
That can't be right, can it?
Yeah, 8 games.
16. Because I'm looking at it now. Well, how many tries are scored? Let's quickly jump to the NRL app and have a look at stats.
I can believe that. Because you've got 16 teams, you've got to say, like the Storm scored about 1 million tries.
All right. So we've reviewed it, and it was 48 individual tries in the end. So, quite surprising that... Yeah, I guess I've never really thought about it, to be honest with you, but...
Yeah, definitely. No, lots of tries. 16 teams, you know.
But it also just surprising that only one player scored a double.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's insane. Considering, like, whenever we've had that question in the past, it's always been like 8 or 9 or something, like a really high number.
Yeah.
But, all right, we'll move on to our next segment, which is...
Trying to move away from that one quickly.
Yeah, that was shocking. That was horrible. All right, so next segment is about the new Rugby League game. Rugby League Live 4 got released on the 27th, the day early, Broke Street Day, finally. We've been playing it quite a bit since it came out. What do you think of it?
Yeah, so we're currently in the midst of a game right now, our first offline game versus each other. Look... Not enjoying it very much, I have to say. You know, as nice as I possibly can be. I'm pretty let down. I think it's a disappointment after 3. Both of us are fans of 3. We knew that it had its faults. It had its fair share of bugs and glitches, but I think they were enough to move past and enjoy the game. I feel like this, unfortunately... has too many that actually affect the general gameplay, and it actually makes playing the game nowhere near as enjoyable as it should. I think the game misses a lot. Career mode is lacking. They haven't added almost anything to that. A few small things that I don't think many people were asking for. So still no mid-season signings or releasing of players, which is just a huge disappointment for me. We're both big career mode fans, so I think we're both hoping for something else there. Let down by a few fundamentals. The passing system and the offloading system are very poor, I think. I think I've seen a fair few people, True Blue and Big Amp, say there's a steep learning curve, but for me, we've both played a whole season now, so 20-odd games each, and neither of us understand it yet.
Yeah.
The passing system's always something they've gotten wrong in these games.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've gotten it more wrong this time than they had in any other version. They've gone backwards, and four games in, that should not be happening, obviously. No. It should be getting better and better. And I would say it's close to the worst out of the live series. Probably one's, the passing of one's worse, but...
one was bad. Like, I don't even consider one to be
quite a game. I'm mostly just focusing just on passing there for that comparison. I don't remember one that much because it's been a few years, but I think the passing in 2 and 3 is definitely much better than 4, and it's just such a huge part of the game.
Anyway,
that's, I guess, a quick summation. The other thing I'll just quickly jump on is the graphics. I think the in-game graphics are very poor and a massive drop from Rugby League Live 3. We just saw a player right then walk through the referee. I mean, that's not graphics, but it's just... Yeah, the facial scans are nice, I'll give them that, but outside of that, no, I think the grass looks poor, the lighting looks poor, the stadiums look poor, the general models look poor, the reflections, the dirt, sweat, all that kind of stuff, it seems to be non-existent.
It's not even, like, I generally don't care about graphics that much, you know, if gameplay's good, I'm fine with that. The problem that I have is that 3 look better.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That's the main point. Because I agree, you can see past graphics, but when you're buying a new game, you expect it to be at least the same quality as the previous.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, it's like they did all the face scans and they just forgot to do everything else. They just like went copy and paste from a PS2 game. And that's how that works. It looks bad.
Yeah.
But anyway.
What are your thoughts outside of that?
Pretty much you summed up everything I thought as well. The passing being horrible, offloads being bad. Career mode is the heartbreaker for me, definitely. It's I have a lot of trouble finding a reason to play a game unless it's like that, you know, I'm managing a team and I'm taking it to the next level, I'm trying to win a premiership, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing that, I just kind of don't care.
You want that desire to keep going after a season?
Yeah, it's like, I'm only going to sign in the offseason.
Exactly,
and stuff like,
yeah.
You know, and it's just, I just don't feel any...
You know, and the player development as well is something that you want. So it's a bit disappointing if be a pro, you're not seeing the same development that you should from your players, or if you're playing career mode, you're not seeing your development in the lower grade team because you can't even really manage them, which is just stupid.
Yeah, what's it called? The Panthers lower grade team, the New South Wales Cup team isn't even available to be picked to put in the NRL side. You know, they've just forgotten about things. And there's been some bad design decisions as well. Like, when you're playing a casual game against people and you've got to try and change your side, you can't see player positions, you can't see their skills, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, we were just playing a game with the Super League. I had no idea who any of the players in the reserves were, but if I'd known if someone could play a second row position, I might chuck them in there, you know?
Little things like that that just really shouldn't be missed.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no reason for them not to. Like, they were in the previous game.
Yeah.
So why have they taken them out? Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I agree 100%.
Yeah. And I mean, we don't want to go on and on about it. Like, you know, you've said before, we want to enjoy the game.
But
unfortunately, we're not at the moment. And we've played a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I do think I've somewhat mastered it, if you can say that. But I'm still just... not enjoying it.
Yeah. If I score a try, it's kind of like, like, so many of the tries I score is a forward going close to the line and just falling over.
Falling,
And it's like, hooray! I don't know, it just feels stupid.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I do think there is a semblance of a good game hidden in there somewhere. Maybe a couple of patches will make it better, but yeah, who knows.
If they came out and said, we're going to release 3 more patches, then I'd have a lot of faith in this game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't see that happening.
It's a thing as well. It's going to be like 6 months until a patch gets released. Yeah. As well. Like, going off past iterations anyway, that's what you'd expect. But
who knows? Like you said, they'll probably wait for the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
We might get a minor patch that fixes priority issues, things like a freezing after the Via Pro season and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not going to make it any better in terms of gameplay.
No, definitely not. All right. after that depressing segment, we'll move on to In the News. So the first bit of news is it's been reported, not confirmed, that Laurie Daly has apparently re-signed for 1 year with the New South Wales Blues. A bit of an interesting one, given the series you just had. I honestly don't know what to make of it, but yeah, what do you think about that?
I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
We need to move on from him.
Yeah.
He's had his chances. He's, I believe, what, 1 from 5? That's simply not good enough. When your opponent is, what was Melbourne again? 9 from 10 or something like that, whatever it was. And now Kevin Walters is 2 from 2. Is it 2 from 2? Was he there last year?
Yeah,
he was. Hey, Walt? Yeah, so 2 from 2. When those are the stats of your opposition,
then
it's time to move on the coach. I haven't agreed with his gameplay. I haven't game plan. I haven't agreed with his use of interchanges. I haven't agreed with his player selections. There's not been very many parts. I haven't agreed with the way that he deals with the media. I don't like the way that he the ideas he gives his players in the media it goes back to 2015 when Hodgkinson and Reynolds, obviously there's a bit of dog biased in this, but they won the series and he refused to come out and say that, you know, they were guaranteed their spots or anything like that. Whereas you have someone like Mitchell Pearce who's never won a series out of 7, and yet Daly's always saying, yeah, Mitchell's our first choice. Mitch is going to be there as long as nothing else goes wrong. We've got no reason to not pick him, blah, blah. Like, why is he doing that for some players and not others? Especially when he's doing it for undeserving players. That's now, I turned into a bit more of a rant than I thought it would be.
No, I agree. It also came out in the news that apparently he felt betrayed by the Cruz brothers, whatever they're called, going out and having a drink. And it's like, okay, you felt betrayed, but you did nothing about it. You know, there was no sort of idea that they were disciplined at all. There was nothing to say they won't be picked next year. If you come out and said, oh, you know, what they did was incorrect, they shouldn't have done it, they knew it, that they were on an alcohol ban or that they just shouldn't be drinking in that stage, we're not going to pick them again.
Yeah.
You know, that would set the tone. Instead, he just comes out and he says this emotional crap. Oh no, they made me feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. I feel betrayed. It's like, we really don't care how you feel, unfortunately.
Exactly.
You're the coach. You should know what your players are doing at all times. And your players should be terrified of you. They're not going to go and have a cheeky few beers 80k's away for you mid-camp.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not good enough. Plus, there's obviously the Fifita situation as well.
Everything points to him just not having control of the team.
No.
And that's the problem. You want him to be your leader.
And the problem is, he has control of who's in the team. He just doesn't have control of those players once they're in the team, it seems. On a personal level, I'm a big fan of Daly. He was one of my favourite players growing up. And look, I feel bad that if he wasn't re-signed, that would be his Origin record. But for the greater good, he's unfortunately going to go.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Sorry. You know, personal likes can't get in the way.
Yeah.
So when they ask me, sorry, I'm not going to give you my recommendation.
No, see you later, Daly. It's enough is enough.
Yep.
We need to change everything else. But anyway, the next piece of news was a little snippet I caught about former Origin star Jason King. He's just been recently appointed as the NRL GM of Elite Competition. So it sounds a bit weird. The description is someone that develops the game's elite competitions through football operations, medical elite programs, and targeted football programs. Which, to me, makes me think, what does he do? I have no idea.
Yep.
It's confusion throughout. But, you know, good on him. It's an interesting thing that the NRL is trying to create new positions for whatever. I don't know. I just find it weird that they're creating these positions with weird titles. And what's their end goal? Do they want to strengthen the competition from start? Like, I don't know.
I love that they're bringing in a former player.
Because
that's what the NRL needs more in the head office is former players or people that are, you know, been involved in the game for decades, not businessmen. I don't know anything about his achievements off the field or, you know, what kind of person he is off the field, but good footballer, so yeah, hopefully he brings a lot to the table.
He's got degrees in law and business administration, so he's obviously obviously qualified, but
I don't know any what he's going to be doing, but
yeah. Well,
I hope he does it well.
Neither does he. So
yeah.
You know, good luck. But hopefully he'll do some good things, and we'll see the game change a bit over the next couple of years for the better.
Yep.
All right. So next piece of news is Dave Taylor set to move on from the NRL. He's going to go overseas to play in some sort of competition. Don't know what. There's been speculation that it's with the Toronto Wolfpack, but we're not too sure. But yeah, he's turned down a 1-year contract with the Canberra Raiders to do so, which it's a shame. He's a guy that never lived up to the potential, in my opinion. He's such a big guy, should have really taken the bull by the horns and run away with it.
Yeah. I think everyone wanted to see him reach his potential. Hasn't done so yet, but maybe he will with the Wolfpack if that's where he's going.
How old is he?
No, I don't know. I'd say late 20s, maybe 28.
Okay. Yeah. Still quite young.
Yeah, he's definitely still got a few years left in him.
He's so big.
And they'll be terrified of him over in the second division.
Yeah.
If the Wolfpack do sign him, and if they do get promoted to the league up.
He's also very skilled as well. You know, like forgetting about his strength and all that sort of stuff. He can put in a really nice rubber. He can, you know, throw a really good offload. He has really good ball skills for such a big guy, but just
tons of talent.
Yeah, for whatever reason, hasn't utilized it, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, but if it is with the Wolfpack, I'll be real keen to see how he goes.
Yeah. All right, final bit of news is that the NRL and the Players Association are reportedly closing in on a deal to set the salary cap for next season. So the number they're looking at is $9.2 million. So that sounds like a lot of money. The problem is that a lot of clubs have been going off the idea that it's going to be around $10 million. So a few clubs may have overshot it a little bit. So I think we're going to see a few, maybe a couple of clubs. Reports are, the Bulldogs being one of them, scramble and release a few players as the year goes on after that number is set. But it's I think it's interesting just seeing these negotiations go on.
Mm.
And the fact that we've gone through 3/4 of a season now and without a salary cap set, with teams signing players, re-signing players, and going through that entire process, hoping they're going to have enough money for next year.
Yeah. No, it should have been done by now. It's taken way too long, and I agree. I think we'll see a couple of teams next year that are definitely over the salary cap. Let's hope the NRL is a little bit lenient next year, because it's been such a muddle. Because I do think the Dogs are going to be one of those teams for sure.
Yeah, Woods and Foran.
We've let a few go, but those guys got signed on big money, so very interesting to see. But yeah, hopefully it's sorted soon.
Yeah, I guess the concern for the Dogs as well is like depth overall, because their forward pack, they've definitely got a few holes there that need to be filled, and then they're really not. They're not in a position to have a couple of marquee players come in and fix their problem.
No.
You know, you'd want, you know, your Tim Browns and people like that back. Guys that are solid. Definitely come on and do what you need them to do.
We'll take Lani Latu from Penrith, thank you.
You can take Tim Brown back. I'm not too crushed on him, but he's a solid player. But,
you can have Falelo.
Falelo. Actually, I'm looking at that. I don't mind what I've seen in it.
He just doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He doesn't bring much to the table.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. We'll move on to our final segment, which is Who Am I?
Ooh, everyone's favourite segment.
Yeah, so the record is held by me with 2, just to point that out to kick things off, just to get back with you with the trivia. So the rules are that I've picked a player or coach who has played or coached over 100 NRL games, and they've played or coached in the past 10 years. I explained it properly this week.
You did?
I got a gold star. Yeah. It's pretty good.
I'll get my notepad out. I'm going to make some notes here.
All right, I was saying to JC that I wrote this one earlier in the week. Forgot who it was and had to read my own clues to work out who it was.
How many clues did it take you?
I kind of just went over the place, and I think I read the last one, so that gave it away. So the last one's a giveaway.
What's the last one?
Okay, so it's... All right. As I said, record is held with 2. This one I think you could get into if you know...
If I'm a stalker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's say that. All right, so I was a one club player and I mainly played fullback for my club. That's clue number 1.
All right.
Can you get it in 1?
Fullback, 1 club. So you mainly played fullback.
Yeah.
All right. It's a bit of a vague word, that one.
All right. Predominantly, really. All right, clue number 2. In 2005 and 2007, I was the leading try scorer in the NRL.
2005 and 2007. So 1 club player played predominantly at fullback, leading try scorer in 2005 and 2007. No one's coming to mind, but I do want to try and get it at two. So if I can think of one player that could fit that bill, I have someone in mind.
Okay.
Not sure about the year. I know this person played... what was the first one?
Yep.
Say it again to me.
I was a one club player and mainly played fullback for my club.
Okay, so you didn't say any NRL.
Sorry, okay, I will clarify. I'm a one NRL club player.
Okay, that's interesting. I have an idea of someone. It would be a long shot.
Okay.
Like it fits, it definitely fits the bill. I'm going to have a stab.
I don't think you should, because, you know, it'll be embarrassing if you get it wrong.
I don't think that's the reason you don't want to have a stab. I'd be fucked. The embarrassment doesn't bring that much shame to me.
Yeah, yeah.
The thought of reclaiming, to some extent, a record that I once held, that's very appealing.
It's an important thing. Yeah.
I'm dragging this on, but... This person. So the trouble with guessing like this is that one person came to mind,
yeah,
and that stopped you from thinking other people it could possibly be.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably a bunch of people who are one club players and predominantly played fullback. Anyway, okay, I'm gonna have a guess just because, you know,
yeah,
when in Rome, all
right,
and we are podcasting from Rome tonight, so Matt Bowen.
That is correct. Nailed it.
I am so happy that I'm finally back on the record books. You don't understand how much I hated that you got into it. Thank you, Matthew Bowen.
Well done.
You know, he crushed my heart in 2005, I think it was.
It was, yeah.
And you know what? I love you now, Matt Bowen.
Well done. That was very impressive. Because I didn't think those clues were that clear. But I should have left out the fullback part. Anyway.
I think it's just lucky that he's the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right. I'll go through the rest of the clues anyway. So I've played 10 games for Queensland and one game for Australia. I played in one grand final, which I lost. I was named Dalian Fullback of the Year in 2007. In 2014, I moved to the Super League and played for the Wigan Warriors. We were runners-up for the 2 years that I was there. I've been described by Darren Lockyer as a little freak and Phil Gould as the modern-day icon of the game. In 2012, I recorded 28 try assists, more than my halfback Jonathan Thurston.
Wow.
In a recent Golden Point interview, Andrew Voss referred to me as one of the most exciting players to have ever played the game. And in 2005, I scored an intercept try from a Brett Camoli pass in Golden Point in game one of Origin.
How much do you hate that I got it into again?
I don't like
not
it,
again,
yeah,
but
yeah,
got it into... And you loved that you had that record.
Like, it was like the one thing I held over you and anything, you know? It was like, yeah, it was, life is good. It's gone back to being just boring again.
See, now, yeah, now we have to make it so one of us can get it in one. So I'm going to throw this out there. I reckon from now on, we have to say the town the person was born in on clue one.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about towns.
Well, but that's the thing.
Yeah.
If you wanna go and research,
is that like the only clue you get? So
no. You just have to put that in there with it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Should it just be town, or should you have to say year they were born and town, or is that too precise?
I don't know. I struggle to think that I'd be able to get one on that personally.
So that means you'd be okay with
yeah,
it.
Yeah. 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 I think I would.
All right. For the rest of the season, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon we do that. Because, yeah, no, obviously we'll still be very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because especially, you know, so many players are born in Sydney or Brisbane that it's like, you know, that's not very specific. That can be anyone.
Getting it back in two, though, like if I get two next week, that gives me the title back, rather. The title's kind of shared.
Yeah, but I mean...
I think it's a talent.
No, it's still a record, though. Like, you can have the show, you can have the title, but the record is still shared.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Because I think I had that. That happened to me, didn't it?
Yeah,
I got two in twice in three.
Yeah,
you got one. Yeah, all right.
Crazy.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy I got that.
I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, why did I do this?
That's exactly what I thought. Who was it you got?
Carmichael Hunt, another fullback.
Oh, was it Carmichael Hunt?
Yeah, because it was the New Zealand thing gave it away.
Yes.
Yeah, New Zealand had played for Queensland. I was like, okay, all right, got him. This was impressive, though, because, like, like 2005, 2007 winning try score, that's obviously a pretty big stat, but...
Yeah, that didn't help me that much.
Yeah, exactly. They've actually got one club player and played fullback now for my club. Could have got it in one, really.
I could have got that in one.
Yeah.
He hadn't come to mind yet.
Okay. Who were you thinking of? Was there anyone else? Or?
No, the first one that came to mind was Lockyer, but I thought, you wouldn't go Lockyer. Plus, he played 5'8", probably half of his career.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, Matt Bell played a little bit of 5'8 as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking he's probably played a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Because when you said predominantly, I was like, oh, so he must have played something else.
Yeah. That 28 try assists as well in 2012, that's insane.
Yeah. That's like, really impressive.
I don't remember him being a big like ball player. I just remember him running like, really fast and ducking and weaving out of every tackle.
I guess making breaks and then drawing in the fullback.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But yeah, he was a great player. He really was. Like, he was, and this is no disrespect to Preston Campbell at all, but he was sort of like a more athletic Preston Campbell in the sense that he was faster, he could break tackles and stuff, whereas Campbell was a little guy that got pushed around a little bit at times.
Yeah, no, that's probably a fair statement to make. But yeah, Bowen on his day, brilliant player. Like very similar to Billy Slater.
Yeah,
I'd say,
definitely.
With ball playing ability.
Yeah. It's sad that he's not in the NRL anymore. I think he's retired now officially.
I think last year.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he's had an amazing career. Ooh. You know, someone that I think has done a hell of a lot for the game.
Definitely.
One of those guys that took away that stigma of little guys can't play league.
Especially in Origin.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he very much built Michael Morgan, thank him a lot for the position he has right now, because Bowen was the one that showed that he could be a game breaker by being in that position. Not coming on playing any position in particular, just being there, waiting for Breckenmore to throw a pass and running away to destroy everyone's hopes and dreams.
Yep.
And on that note, the podcast is done. That's episode 21 of The Golden Point. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.